Good morning and happy Resurrection Day. Hey, everybody and their mama will be in church this morning. So listen to this episode on your way to church, after church, as you commute to work Monday morning. You don't want to miss it. But before you listen, let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this day, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your power. We thank you for mending our hearts by your resurrection and by redeeming us. Lord, we ask you today to continue to bless the ministry, renew us today, Lord. Give us a fresh spirit and a stronger faith. And Father God, we come to you understanding our purpose and our call to be bold and to be a reflection of you and your love. And all things we pray in your mighty name. Amen.
It's the unknown, unknown. It's the unknown, unknown preacher. It's the unknown preacher. Unknown preacher. Unknown preacher.
All right, beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA, season 5. Episode 9, and with me, I'm super, super excited. I have two of my co-hosts today, man, Brianna and Kimry. BK, Bree, Kim, how are y'all doing?
Good. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Hey, and I want to put it out from because I believe in recognizing, giving people their flowers. This episode was Kimry's brainchild. And it is just a pleasure to talk about the most important profession in the world. So, yeah, it's going to be some good stuff. But before we get into it, any other news y'all want to talk about?
I tell you, that game, I'm not a big sports fan. But when it comes to basketball and football, I really get into it. And, of course, with March Madness, there have been some, like, buzzer-beating shots, okay? Yes. And a lot of these, you know, our North Carolina schools, I have just been so shocked. Because, I mean, I'm not fully with the hype, but it still gets you hype. Because you want to see North Carolina win, but, Lord. What do y'all think about sports? Just a quick, how do y'all feel about March Madness, college sports, period?
I want to shout out Kentston High School, right? Because I think, didn't they just win? Was it the boys?
They went to the state champ.
K-Town.
I want to shout them out because, you know, it's a lot of small cities who have a lot of greats come out of there. So I want to shout them out or whatever. Again, I don't look at sports like that. I stopped looking at sports. Now, y'all guessing, this is a shame. But I stopped looking at sports when I got out of band.
Look, let me tell you something. Being in a band, you will learn football and basketball.
Yes, you will.
And that's why I have such a love for it. Like Kim said, once we close that particular chapter, it's like, and they do what?
Yeah.
Field goal, touchdown.
Yeah, I dibble and dabble. Like, my favorite teams are my husband's teams. And that's because he's my husband. I mean, you know, now there are some games. Okay, so first of all, Duke, Carolina. I'm always watch those games because.
Right.
And now I don't know if y'all Duke or Carolina fans, but my husband is a big Duke fan. So, and we know, oh, Lord, he a Carolina fan because you laughed. But I watch those games because they are very, very intense. I know that's crazy.
Yes.
They're very,
yes, they
very
are.
Intense with a lot of things. Yeah. And it draws you to it. You know what I mean? It draws mm-hmm. you to the game because it's so intense. And everybody's just like, oh, Corona, oh, Duke. And I'm like, well, what am I missing? I can't say my favorite coach is not there no more. But Coach K, that was a bad mamma jamma.
You know, this is surreal and just I'm in awe for a number of reasons. The first is I've been talking about having an episode with the boys and we talk sports. Never did I think that it would be Kimberly and Brianna, the three of us talking about sports and March Madness.
I tell you, we impressive. Are full of surprises.
I tell you.
No, seriously. Yeah. Really, really are. You know, you never know what you might get.
I see. But March Madness, man, I live for it. I'm going to tell you, it was just a stunner all around. I will tell you, Houston, because I do have some supporters in the Houston area, mm-hmm. and Duke, I had predicted both of those teams to go to the Final Four. And to see them get knocked out, I was just like super shocked. Yeah. It blew my mind, man. But that's why they call it March Madness, right?
Right, because we get a little mad at the mess.
Oh man! And but there's next year. I mean,
for sure.
Yeah. And I know Brianna, you brought up something else, and I don't even know. I'm gonna let you take the lead on this because you mentioned the Chris Brown thing when we talked earlier.
And you know, I tell you, I even shared it with my husband. I said, I cannot believe Chris Brown. So first of all, let's give context.
Yeah.
It was a concert. Of course, it was Chris Brown's concert. Yeah. And this is a viral clip of a fan that was on stage with him. And this fan is a married woman. And Chris Brown, in his performance, gave this married woman a kiss.
A kiss where?
On her lips.
It was real. It was a real.
Extremely. Because
And so a viral comedian, Tony Baker, he made a clip or a reel saying she's going to get those papers when she comes off stage.
Okay.
So that was what I wanted to bring up. Like, Kim, you know, what you think?
I think that's a hot mess.
That's some March Madness right there.
Yeah, so, because, you know, they always play this thing when it comes to women and men, you know what I'm saying? Oh, women can't do this, but men can't do it. Or men can do this, and women can't do it. When it comes to marriage altogether, now, me and my husband be married 10 years in May, okay?
Praise God.
I do not play when it comes to marriage. It's a very serious, sacred thing. And regardless of who we love behind closed doors, like Sam on TV, we don't know that man. I don't know that man.
Yeah.
I probably would have slapped him. First off, I'm not gonna be up there. Another thing is, I like people. I'm an old school girl. I like old school music. I like how things were done back in the day. So I like Luther Vandross, you know, and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I would never put myself in a situation like that. I wouldn't. Let me see. I don't want to say I would never take my husband to a concert when it comes to me, like kind of lusting over a man. Like, you get what I'm saying? I wouldn't.
For sure,
my husband don't want to go to no concert watching me looking at fine Jamie Foxx. You know what I'm saying?
not Jamie Foxx. Like, not Jamie Foxx.
And I'm over here like, oh man, you know, DJ play that love song. Like, why would I do that? I need to enjoy those songs with my husband, but not in front of him, lusting over a man. I personally feel like that just opens the door, and I know I can get deep, y'all. I'm sorry, but I open the door for the enemy can do whatever he wants to do.
Because exactly.
When it comes to you, it's one thing seeing them on the TV screen. It's another thing seeing them in real life and in person. You see what I'm saying? Which is the reason why we have so many stories. I'm not gonna get too deep, but the Diddy story, the R. Kelly story, the all these stories that's out there swimming, because these people are, you know, like, what's the word? They're just big fans, and they feel like, right, oh, this is a yeah, one chance time, a one one shot,
once in a lifetime, exactly, right? Yeah.
So in their mind, they're like, I might YOLO, I might as well do it or whatever. And then that one moment makes up for the entire life. You can literally make that one moment mess up your entire life, not knowing what you're getting yourself into, because you're just so fanned out by whoever this person is.
Yes.
You don't even know them. They don't know you either.
Right.
That's
you could have thorns or something.
Yeah.
And let me ask you. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to ask y'all this real quick. Who kissed whom, though? Because he did initiate it. I've seen two or
well,
three.
Well, she leaned in, but yeah, he finished it.
Yeah.
He finished it.
There you go.
And she was into it too now. So.
Right.
Yeah. Divorce. I know. I'd be like, man, I'm trying to figure out how she gonna get home tonight.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, Chris Brown is happy on his tour bus, and now she gotta deal with papers.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's not gonna get him.
I might have to make up a song. Papers.
Okay.
Papers. You guys serve papers.
Now, I'm going to get gender on y'all. I'm going to get gender specific, because I know women probably don't do this, but his boys are going to give it to him. When he came to work, oh, man, I know there are so many Chris
absolutely
Brown jokes, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
every time you hear a Chris Brown song, man, how do you react?
You're going to be mad all over again.
Yeah.
Literally, he's going to think March Madness equals Chris Brown.
Ooh.
I can't even enjoy basketball. I can't even enjoy chilling with my boys.
Because every time I think about it, or Chris Brown come up, when March hits.
You know what? Yeah. The best song for that lady, for that man to sing to his wife is, it's never a right time to say goodbye.
That's the one, boo. That's the one. Come on here.
It's never a right time, baby.
But
now, who sings that, Brie? Who sings that?
Chris Brown.
That's Chris' song.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Go ahead and serve her those papers while you sing his song.
Okay.
Now, I know he had a song, Something Ain't Loyal. I remember that.
Oh, yes.
Excuse me, Lord. These girls ain't loyal.
Yeah. And so he reinforced that, you know.
He literally did.
Yes, yeah.
And it's sad that he had to do that. And then she made it. Oh, I'm just help us, Lord. Just help the church. Help him.
But I do believe some celebrities really get excited about the power and influence to be able to just take someone's woman from them, right? I've heard stories of celebrities at clubs and different places just walk up to a couple and say, hey, come with me, and she the woman will just leave with them and leave
that's
their man
hotness
right there. Yeah,
that's a hotness. So, I hate that too, because us as women, like, why would you want to put yourself in that situation? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're better than that. Know your worth. If us as women knew our worth, now I know mine, so I'm not talking, you know, I know Brie, you know, she, you know, who he is, but if us as women took pride in who we really are, regardless of who we are wearing or whatever men do, we'd be all right. We're already a force to be reckoned with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that women do that men can't do, and I'm not saying that to dumb now any men, because it's things that men do that we can't do, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Which is why God allowed us to have a woman and or a man, husband, a wife, and we make a force. But yeah, man, we just gotta do better.
Got to.
Yeah, we can get caught up in celebrity, man, and forget a lot of that. So totally agree. Well, that was the fun stuff. That was some pretty good entertainment news, kind of for us, not so much for hubby and maybe even wifey too. But I know the subject today, man. This is, well, let's start with this. I know, Brianna, you told me you have a new role. Can you share that with us and for our listeners?
Oh, yes. So I am currently a career and college advisor, and I assist high school students with enrolling, being duly enrolled. So while in high school, taking community college courses.
I love it. I love it. And now, how long have you been teaching?
Teaching 10 years. 10 years. Yeah.
All her life, because she was teaching when I believe school, it. Too. All her life.
Brie can be a little. No, let me stop.
What? Go ahead. Speak.
Brie can tell you what she wants and how it's supposed to be done now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That is funny. Yeah, a lot of people tell me, like, oh my gosh, you broke that down so well. I said, it's just the teacher in me.
It really is.
She exactly.
Always, for me, she's always been Teacher Brie, you know what I'm saying? In school or whatever. I don't think me and Brianna ever took classes together, but we had some things in common, like HOSA and stuff like that. And the girl was just, she's just the teacher. And that's just the point blank period. You listen to her. I won't listen to her because I know what she's talking about is facts. You know what I'm saying? Fact
checks. She knows her stuff.
She fact checks everything. Absolutely. And, you know, which is a beautiful thing to see her blossom to where she is today and to also know that she is where she want to be. You know what I mean? Some people don't want to be there and some people don't make it to where they want to be. But I believe that she has always had a passion for this and always had a heart for it. So to see her be exactly what she wanted to be, you know, and be happy with it is a beautiful thing.
Amen. We don't give our teachers enough flowers, enough credit, and it is such a noble thing to you make so many sacrifices in the impact. Like, I don't care who you are, what how successful you become. Just about everyone who has reached a certain level, they can look back at a teacher who helped shape and mold them and gave them the encouragement. I've talked about it on the show before about my middle school teacher, Mr. Thomas. And if not for Mr. Thomas, man, God knows where I would have been ended up in school. So but Brie, thank you for what you're doing and to be passionate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we need more teachers like you.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
So when you first stepped into the classroom at the beginning of your career, what did you believe your role as an educator would be? And what ways has that shifted?
Yeah, so when I started, I was actually a preschool assistant. Before that, actually, I worked with toddlers. So I was teaching toddlers about writing their name, you know, personal care, all of that.
Yeah.
And I did that for about a year and a half, and I moved into pre-K assistant, preschool teacher, and then high school, and now I'm in college. So I have worked in different roles. So when I think about what was education for me, the main word was impact.
Yeah.
Like, I literally was thinking, I want to impact the beginning of the years. I want to set the tone. I want to set the foundation. So when I was working in preschool, my mindset was I wanted to be equipped with knowing their name, knowing their mother's name, not just mom, but knowing her name, knowing their father's name, you know, even down to I live in this city. Even if I didn't get the address, I live in blank city. So that was just like a really, really big thing for me, reading, just setting those principles. So when they got to elementary, middle, and high school, they would still remember that foundation. And so when I moved into high school, it was like, I need to set them up for our future citizens. Like, I'm thinking, you guys are the next. I mean, you're the next at pre-K, right? But and in high school, it's like, okay, you're closer to the door. So I need to make sure you have the keys. So those are my thoughts at that time and still today.
Wow. It seems like all those different experiences have just made you well-rounded. And you mentioned your goal of the impact goal. Can you think of a moment where you saw it or you realized, wow, I am making an impact?
Yes, I have, like, let me try to, let me bring it down to two. Okay. So as a high school teacher, my student, he went on to East Carolina. Mm-hmm. He pursued a degree in Spanish and medical or healthcare. Yeah. And so now today he is working in his field. He originally started off in interior design, which is what I taught in high school, but due to changes in curriculum, he shifted into the medical. But he kept up with me. We kept talking. And so he got a job right at, he went to school debt free. He earned a grant of $5,000 to pursue research in healthcare. And now today he's working in that field, making, of course, higher ranking, you know, income. And so I'm like, wow, debt free income, got his car clear, everything. So he's walking out of college with his head up, his chest, you know, his shoulders back, like, yeah. I did it.
Yeah.
And a more primary status is one of the students I taught my very first class. Those children are now middle schoolers.
Oh.
And one of the young ladies, my very first student ever, she and I share the same name. Her name is Brianna. And she is excelling. Her mom posted a update on social media, and long story short, A honor roll, principal list, dance team leader. And I'm thinking, I remember when she was trying to write Brianna. So those are just two moments that really stand out. Beautiful. So yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I got a question.
So Tap In is a events ticketing / artist promoting platform. But there's three features that come with Tap In, which is really awesome. One, we make it easy to discover events that are in your local area. Also, for artists who are, you know, event planners or organizers who want to sell tickets to their events, we make sure that you keep 100% of your ticket sales. Number two, we wanted to make sure that artists can build a community around themselves and their events. And then number three, a lot of times you'll hear an artist say, visit my website, visit my portfolio, take this QR code. Well, we wanted to make it easy and actually add those portfolios and websites into the app so that it's all in one place. Mm-hmm. So consider it like almost like a one-stop shop for artists and event organizers and planners. Is available to download and use. It is on both Apple Store and Google Play Store.
I got a question.
Yeah.
What are some things that you think public schools are lacking?
You know, this is going to hit a few people where it hurts.
Yeah.
And it's their pockets. One of the things that teachers do, we come in using creativity, using our personal resources to help make it happen. Now, I won't say that organizations don't support their teachers. I'm not saying that. I am saying is the resources to really make it happen are not in place.
Makes a lot of sense.
So when you call an area Title I, when you call an area, you know, low income or low performing, you got to assess what are the resources. Like, are there resources there to change that status?
Yeah.
Do you think that's one of the reasons why we are losing a lot of educators? Because of the frustration when it comes to the finance. When, you know, it, like you said, you know what you need to help push these babies and do the things that you need to do. Do you think that is one of the reasons why some of these educators are just leaving?
Yes, leaving the field for mental and emotional strain. We're putting on multiple hats. We are the teacher, but then we're the counselor. Then we're taking them home. We're providing them some of the personal care items. you know, and so it goes past the lesson. We getting mm-hmm. into their life. Right. And see, when we were growing up, Kim and I, and of course, all of you listening, like when we were growing up, it was truly community based.
Right.
It was truly the village.
Literally. Yeah.
What has happened is the village has become a subdivision. I want you to really think about a subdivision.
Wow.
I want you to think about it. A subdivision is separate. You got your own little corner. You got your own little block.
Yeah.
And so we are now separated by blocks, barriers, mental challenges, financial challenges. So all of these things, but we're not being the village. The correction of a child. The, hey, Sally, I see you struggling. I see Bobby struggling. Here's a resource. We got that pride.
Yeah.
Of not accepting correction.
Yeah.
And you know, the other word, I got to say it. The other word is accountability.
Yes, ma'am. That's it. Hit it on the head.
Yep. A lot of us, you know, teachers, we could do some things different. You know, some of it is us, some of it.
For the parents.
But we got to, parents, you got to help us.
Yeah.
You got to help us.
Yeah.
And you probably say, okay, I'm a parent. I'm doing what I can at home, but Bobby or Sally just not catching it. Where's the village? Your teacher's in place, right? Your parent is in place. What about your therapist? What about your doctor?
Yeah.
What about your tutor?
Help out there.
Yeah.
It really is. But Harmony, who is it? So I got Cameron. I have a baby girl, Harmony. She turned 7. And my son, Cameron, he was born with a soft cleft palate, which would mess with his speech over time, you know. And I made it my business to take and enforce all the resources that the doctor, because I know a lot of people may not know this, but your doctor and your primary caregiver will give you a list of resources to help your child if you feel like, oh, your child is lacking from something. When it came to Cameron, they gave me a speech therapist, and he has had this speech therapist since he was in, since he was a baby, for real. They would teach him how to, you know, move his tongue and all of these things. And he still have a speech therapist to this day that follows him, that has gotten him better, because he used to be very insecure when it comes to reading because of his speech. Mm-hmm. And he had multiple things going on because of the soft cleft palate. But his dad is also from the island, East Caribbean. And so my husband speaks with some sort of slang every now and then. So whereas sometimes when they're saying things, they think that, what do you say? And I'm like, no, they're saying something for real. Y'all just don't understand it. Like my daughter, she don't say pants. She say pots.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So look, or if they say something like, what's a guan or something, they speak with a slang, you know what I mean? A slang and a heavy, heavy accent. And my children have taken on the accent and somewhat of the slang. So I talk to the teachers and say, hey, they may sound like this and they may sound like this. This is what they're saying. Another thing is you have to have a conversation with your teachers. If your child is in school, baby talk to them teachers, because I do. I don't care if you feel like you like them or not. It's very, very important. And I think teachers like the fact that the parent will check in on that student. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I am the one to be like, what he need to do to get this grade up? Or what is some, you know, options or summer caps or all these resources.
I know
a lot of people are, you know, look at TikTok and stuff, and they play with our mind and tell us, oh, there's no resources and stuff like that. It is, parents, listen to me. It's resources out there. If you can't find it on Google, ask your doctor. Your doctor also has lists of resources, and they will give it to you. A lot of people don't know that, but I'm just going to give you the cheat code. Your doctor, I'm telling you, and it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's free, y'all. It is free. So if you have not been able to get your child in tutoring or getting them the help that they need, ask your doctor. Okay, I'm going to shut up. But yeah.
No, that's good. I'm glad you expanded that, because there are so many parents out there who aren't aware of those resources. And, and you just made me think of something. Let me ask you this, Bree. So she mentioned resources. So when you see a student who's in need or lacking, have they equipped teachers by giving them a list of resources or things that they can talk with parents and make referrals for them, or put them in the right direction?
Yes. So definitely with your physician, but also with the school counselor and school social worker. Yeah. What it is, a lot of times parents are concerned when a social worker calls. But a social worker is just that. They're helping you to get to the resource. It's not a judgment zone. It's not a looking at you funny zone. It's, hey, I know this can help your child. And so that pride, as I mentioned earlier, is really hindering some parents from taking on the resources. So, yeah.
Very good. Very good. And you, you also mentioned the need, the financial needs. Do y'all, I want to ask, because I know when my sons were in school, and then a little year, I can think up until COVID, maybe a little before COVID, teachers weren't getting like supplies and stuff. We had to, they had to go out of their pockets or do these drives, and people would donate. Is that still the case now, or
have they? School supply lists are still being posted. Teachers are still going in their personal pockets. Now, we do have crowdfunding, like Donors Choose, or, you know, fulfill my Amazon wish list, you know. But again, that's that village coming together to give or provide that. But, you know, I saw this picture on social media once, and it says, A traditional classroom is a blank canvas. But the room that the parents see on parent night, that was the teacher's funding. That was the teacher's pocket, because the original room was just cinder blocks and a blank board. But she or he added your child's birthday, the colorful rainbow, the ABCs. If it wasn't for that, they'll be walking into what some may call a seal.
Brianna, that a preach. Wait a minute. Hey, it got me excited, because that is a beautiful way to put that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And I never thought about that like that. Did y'all hear what she said? I'm so sorry. That just got me excited. But like you said, you go in the classroom, you see all these colors and things like that. But if not, these babies will be walking into a cell. Okay, I'm going
to
shut up.
But you know what? And this is something I've been thinking about, to be very transparent. You know, when your child goes to pre-K, elementary, those classrooms feel like Crayola just dropped in there.
Yeah.
But I want you guys to really think about when your child goes to middle school. What does that classroom look like? When they go to high school, what does that classroom look like? When they go to college, what does that classroom look like then?
That's good.
Man.
That is good.
I find it totally unacceptable that you have to have drives to provide, to have supplies for teachers in their classroom. Yeah. With all this money floating around, I just can't wrap my brain around it.
It takes me back to it was this viral thing going on TikTok about parents giving their children school supplies. I don't know if y'all seen it, but your parents is like, oh, I'm writing my kid's name on everything. You're not finna give it to Sarah, and you ain't finna give it to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, again, this is where the village comes in, because back in the day, it did not matter. We would buy for the classroom. I can remember my mama buying cases and cases of loose leaf paper.
That's right.
Cases and papers of pencils and stuff. And now, don't get me wrong, for all the parents that's listening. Yes, we are in hard times. Yes, the teachers are hard times. I'm in hard times. You in gas is $4. Glory to God. Oh, help me, Jesus. It's a lot. But if we begin to act as one and unify, how much more will, you know, our babies gain just because we have unified each other?
Right.
How much more can you help your child just by doing something as simple as, okay, when these pencils go on sale, so my mama has a thing. When anything goes on sale, she'll buy it. Like, if she see a TV on sale, and she gonna get me when she hear this, because this is horrible, and I be wanting to call her hoarder so bad, but I get it. I'm talking about it now, I get it. If she see a TV on sale for $2.99, it could be a 50-inch, whatever, and she see it on sale, she'll say, oh, I can't leave this here. She'll buy 3 or 4. Now, where they going, we don't know, because the house is full of TVs, you understand? But she'll buy them, and whoever needs them, she'll have
right.
You know what I mean? And I never understood it. Me and my husband just recently moved or whatever. And we like projectors. Me and my husband like projectors. My babies, they like TVs or whatever. And she went and she bought all these TVs, y'all. Come up here talking about, Kimmy, I had to get them. I just had to get them. We had one for the kids' room. We didn't have one for the living room yet. And she, you know, she gave it to us or whatever like that. And but if you take that moment and you think about your children, or whoever, this could be for anything. But if you think about your children when you go into Staples and Staples randomly have a sale, or Walmart randomly have a sale on paper or pencils, or you can start from the beginning of the year and just say, hey, let me get 2 boxes of pencils every time I get paid or whatever.
Yeah.
And build that stash, and you gift it to that teacher or whatever. That will make a big difference. That will make a big difference. And you ain't got to worry about Susie, Sally, nobody. Everybody will have some. And so will your child. Because you also have to think about, when my child don't have, who or what parent is standing in the gap for my child today? Because
That's
they
right.
didn't have a snack. Because they didn't have a pencil. So you don't want to be that person. Because then when your child is lacking, then who's gonna be in there for your child? You know what I mean?
Amen.
So we got to do better and become a village for all children, not just our children, because we never know when our child will lack. And whenever that day comes, hopefully it will never come, but whenever that day comes, you want to make sure your child is covered regardless because of the village that we have.
Mm. Yes. So good. So good.
I love that fact that both of y'all are touching on the community piece of this, because it does. And I like what Kimry said. I was just about to say that, because we just never know when we may be in need, and we will want that same courtesy afforded to us. Let's talk about learning. Would you say that the kids today learn differently than the kids of yesterday?
Yes. So outside of the tools or the applications, the accessibility changes, it's also just what the state or national standards are. In certain aspects, the standards have been lowered, to be honest. In other aspects, the standards have been stricter. And so it's one of those moments where I do feel like in certain scenarios, it's survival of the fittest. Because if you don't have technology at home, you can't do your homework because everything's on an iPad. And so when you go home, that's it. So then you have to go to like a satellite, like the library or a restaurant that has Wi-Fi just to get the assignment uploaded. And so that's why we hear a lot of conversation around accessibility. So the learning curve here is, it's iPad over books.
Yeah.
The books are on the iPad. But again, if I don't have internet at home, I'm behind the curveball.
Good point.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I absolutely hate it. What happened to pen and paper? Well, because, you know, back in the day, you know, we had paper, we had notebooks. We used to draw pictures and cartoon characters for our notebooks and things like that.
Right. Personalize it.
You know, and we used to have book covers. Our book covers was dope and stuff.
Yeah, you draw the hearts and people you had a crush on. And all.
Yeah, I feel like that's sucking the fun. A little fun
out of the learning.
These things were put in place so we would want to do it. You know what I'm saying? I remember we used to have to buy an expensive calculator. If you had the expensive calculator, baby, you was in there, honey. You was rich. You was popping or whatever because you had the expensive calculator. You know what I'm saying?
But that TI.
You know, and it's like, dang, do some of these kids even know how to use a real calculator? Like a calculator.
I don't think they do. I don't know. Bree could probably answer that. That's
you know, well, they do use the calculator because, you know, they do got calculator active, calculator inactive on their test. So they have to learn how to use it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But, I'm stressed out. there was a girl. She's also a teacher. Now, y'all, I'm not trying to be funny, okay? But this woman of God said to me, I said, hey, you're a teacher. You like being a teacher? She said, yeah. She's a music teacher. Mm-hmm. And she asked, what was she? I think it was like the first grade class. So she had multiple classes at different grades or whatever. And she asked that baby, she said, hey, what color is this? Y'all, don't laugh, okay? Mm-hmm. That baby said 7.
Wow.
And she said, Kim, it broke my heart. Because, what? And I said, yeah. So, you know, if we was, you know, playing around or whatever, we would laugh. But stuff like that is not funny. Even when it comes to the potty train thing. Back in the day, we used to take potty training to the top of the highest or whatever, you know.
Yeah. You had
to potty train. That was just a thing for parents and things like that.
Yeah. But
is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25
fast. Whatever. Make a song or something. Spend at least an hour. And I say at least an hour, but it's 24 hours in a day. But at least an hour with your children. Learning the alphabet or learning rewrite arithmetic or learning how to do cursive, things that we were taught that you know you can do. Because, you know, some parents say, oh, I can't do that. Ain't no teacher. There is a lot of things that you can help your child out with that you may not, you know that is a big part of their lives. There's a lot of things you could teach your child how to do to help some of these teachers when you're going to help them know how to tie the shoe. That's important. You know, potty training, important. Their name, important. Help them learn the teacher name, important. What's coming next in life, you know, important. All of these things are important. And you, as a parent, we can teach them that. Mm-hmm. Those are simple things. Back in the day, we had songs like January, February, March, and April, May, July. You know, mm-hmm. those things like that. Listen, you know, we crazy. You can remix that thing and put a tamarind in there. And sing to them babies so they can know months of the year, you know? Yeah. So it's little things like that that us as parents that can, we can actually do that with our child. So take a moment out with your child. This spring break.
That's right.
My kids pray every day before they go to, when they go to school and when, you know, it's time for them to go to bed. But make it a habit to like, okay, y'all want to have fun? You can't do such and such and such until you read a book today. All right, today is cursive day. You can't do such and such until you write in cursive. Or you can't do such and such until you know what I'm saying? And make it a habit so that wherever they are, they are going to do what they're being taught by their parents. You know what I'm saying? Every day, because that's how they was raised and that's what they was taught. Allow their learning to become a habit, not a choice.
Yeah. I love everything you said. And I'll say this. you said it, but I'll say it this way too. The parents have to really love education or let their kids see that there's an interest in education, because when you do that, it shouldn't feel like a burden. It shouldn't feel like a hurt. And when you do that, kids, because I think children are just naturally curious anyway. And so when you have to feed that curiosity. And so, it's not just on the teacher's end. It's on our end too. And the other part I'll say, and Bree, you can kind of expound on this a little too, but it seems like oftentimes now teachers are in a environment where they're babysitting and they don't have enough time to teach.
Yeah. So in various scenarios, teachers, based upon social media, personal experience, I can say that in a day, and I'm going to just give you a quick recap day. Mm-hmm. So you come in, you do a morning duty, you prepare for your lesson, you know, your planning period. You go into your lesson, then you have a lunchtime duty. Mm-hmm. Then you go into your next lesson and then your last lesson. Then you have an end of day duty. And then you may have a meeting with the whole staff. And from there, you have to go home in certain people scenarios, go home and go back over your lesson or go pick up materials. And so thinking about that, in some cases, you might have to cover your teacher if they are out. And there's not any subs. Now your planning is gone. Because you have to go cover said classroom because of the, you know, low attendance of substitutes. And so, yeah, a teacher's day could be consumed just off of that quick scenario.
That's good.
Don't add in, if you are a parent, right? So now you have to get your closing of your day, getting your own children together, doing your own close of day duties at your own household.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could be a full day.
You made me think about something else. So the voucher program, I don't know enough about it or how it works, but and correct me, so the government gives the parent a voucher. They can then in turn go to a private institution, a private school, and then but that money is being taken out of the public school fund. Is that how it works? I'm not.
Vouchers, I know it's different categories.
Okay.
So one of the categories could be the scenario you're saying. Mm-hmm. Another category could be just supporting with resources, like a voucher for resources. And so vouchers go different ways, but to your point, I have heard about that, but I haven't did full background on it.
Gotcha. It just seems like that's taken away too. You're already classes are overcrowded and then and underfunded, and then when the voucher program comes in, that student is going to this private school, but now those are less resources in the county.
In the public school, yeah.
Yeah, in the public school. That's the picture I'm getting. I honestly don't know enough about it to really, but that's the way I understand it. And
it definitely could be, because to that point about private versus public, that has been like such a big topic, especially I would even say without data or research, I would even say within the last 2 years, 3 years, there's been a lot of conversation around going private. It has its benefits, I'm sure. But again, to the point made earlier, if we're going private route and we're using public funding, help me now.
Exactly. And then you ask homeschooling, that's a whole different animal.
A whole nother one. Yeah. Yeah, I have a student in that scenario where they were homeschooled for essentially until about middle school. Mm-hmm. And so they went into public school the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. I've often wondered, because I mean, I don't really fully understand the homeschool curriculum. I've looked into it, but that's something I really want to research. That's a homework assignment for me. I'm gonna give myself homework. Brianna, research homeschooling standards and how do they correlate as the child transitions.
Yeah, and I've spoken to parents who have homeschooled their children, and they talk about how their grades are just off the chart. The socialization piece would be the challenge, but what I've heard that they have ways of, like, all the kids who are homeschooled, their parents, they create sometimes like a lunches, lunchtime for them, break time, and even like their own version of a prom, you know. They have evolved from
my. Yes, I can say that. I can attest to that. It definitely has evolved. I mean, they have like homeschool. It's a proper term they put with it, but basically, like you said, a homeschool group.
Yeah.
Where different homeschool parents kind of work together to create the electives and the extracurriculars and things of that nature. Wow. So.
Wow. Good stuff. Good stuff. And what about, like, we were talking about students and their needs, not just academically, but they have a lot of emotional needs now. And what are you seeing? Are you seeing, number one, the students, like, visibly being overwhelmed in classrooms? And then number two, the appropriate amount of treatment or intervention afforded to them?
Yes. So now with me working in a kind of like a dual role, the same way the students are dually enrolled, I'm dually enrolled because I'm working with high school and community college. And so what I can say is that students in my time of the classroom and outside the classroom, they are really overwhelmed with life. I can see that the decision-making process is becoming very overwhelming to them. And when I sit down and have those conversations about, like, next steps, what are you considering? Some students, as we know, are very clear. They kind of got it mapped out in their mind. But those other students, it's like a trigger there where it's like, I have experienced so much trauma. Can I really triumph? I was, students may share their story of, I'm the comeback kid, but did I really come back?
Yeah.
Did I really come up?
Yeah.
Because I'm still yet fighting statistics. I'm still yet fighting my own personal emotional challenges. And so to your point, the resource of a therapist is very essential in school. So to any therapist that's listening to us, mental health therapists, I'm challenging you to talk to your local school board, to talk to your community college, your colleges, universities. I'm challenging you to be a 1099 contractor.
Come on.
And you need to go inside those schools, even if it's pro bono, and have a conversation, because I'm telling you, students need an outlet, and social media is not the plug.
Listen, I wanted to bring something up. I don't know if you guys heard it, and this is kind of going to be touchy for a lot of listeners or whatever, but I wanted to touch on this because it's very important. So we're talking about education and things like that. One thing that saddens me is when children fear to go to school. Let me break it down. You have things like the bus ride. There was a girl, I forgot how old she was. I believe she was like 12 years old. She lost her life. She lost her life because some girls wanted to jump her. I can't give you exquisite details or anything like that, but I don't know if it was jealousy or what, but there has been a lot of deaths, immature deaths, when it comes to our babies going to school, riding a bus. One young man actually just got shot. Now, they say it's because of a pair of jeans, but I think it was deeper than that. Mm-hmm. But they said it was because of a pair of jeans, because that's what the boys told him that they wanted. You know, they wanted to come and buy a pair of jeans and end up shooting that poor baby. And he lost his life. What are some things that we as a whole, parents, listeners, you, mama, daddy, the village, all mm-hmm. of us, that we could do to stop the bullying? Because there are undercover things that go on that we can't see, you know? We mm-hmm. ain't everywhere. You're not yeah. everywhere. There are things that go on in the bathroom that we don't know about. Things that go on social media that they bring into school, you know? Mm-hmm. How can we protect our babies from this thing called bullying?
Yes, that is such a big topic. And what I have noticed is one of the main factors is emotional regulation. Students are not able to, because you got to think, if I'm coming out of an irate household,
yeah,
and I'm going to school and I don't fit in, or me and this student have a disagreement, I don't know how to regulate, because my example at home is fight. My example at home is blank, whatever, fill in the blank. And so when I get into that situation where I'm disagreeing with somebody, I'm going to take it to a level 10, because I'm not emotionally regulated. So one of the big factors is I want everybody, all of us, to really take a moment and think, when was the last time I just sat down and wrote out how I felt? When was the last time I just sat down and really expressed myself in a calm manner? Like, I don't feel the best today because, or I am emotionally drained because, versus taking it to a level 10.
Yeah.
If students could learn emotional regulation and really have those prompts. But see, it starts with the parent being emotionally regulated. And to somebody that's saying, well, Brianna, you know, that's not our household. Our household is not like that. We are calm, cool, and collected. Well, then the next step is, have you assessed the child's emotional status? What are they listening to? Who are they hanging out with? What type of music? What are they reading? Because again, what you digest is going to come out.
Yeah.
If I'm taking in negativity, I mean, what's going to come out? And so I think those are two factors. One, let's assess ourselves and emotional regulation. Two, let's put some things in place, like a therapist, like self-care time, so our children can really understand, like, I don't have to go to level 10 with you. I don't even have to pull out a weapon. I don't have to.
I feel like for me, there were people in my life growing up in school that I could talk to. Now, the crazy thing is, I would not talk to these people outside of school, but I might have a wonderful relationship with the lunch lady, or I might have a wonderful relationship with the janitor. And I was comfortable with them. I didn't have to worry about, and I'm not saying this to any child that's listening. You have to find somebody who is that you are comfortable with to have a conversation with. Yes. Sometimes, even if it's a teddy bear. Now, I understand y'all don't want to talk to no teddy bears or whatever. But if you have a teddy bear, that teddy bear is your friend, a blanket, anything. It could be a sheet of paper. And it makes you feel safe. Because that's a big word that a lot of these babies do not feel. Safety. Yeah. If there is something that makes you feel safe, I advise you to always take that moment and go to your safe place whenever it comes to peer pressure or bullying. If you, you know, mommy say, tell the teacher, if the teacher is not listening, I don't care. Go to somebody else. Continue to say, you don't ever stop. Don't ever stop.
That's
telling
right.
them what's going on. You always have to have a trail, like a track record when
that's
it comes
right.
to what's going on. Never stop telling these adults what is going on around you. I don't care if it's your friend. I don't care if it's somebody that you think. Never be okay with something that is not okay. So yeah. if you feel in danger when it comes to your peer, be okay with telling somebody, I do not care where you are. If it's a stranger and you're out there and you feel alone, you need to get in front of some people. Always surround yourself with people so there will always be witnesses. Never feel like you're by yourself. Miss Kim is up here, Brother Alonzo up here, Sister Brianna is up here, and we are people who pray for individuals like yourselves, even though we may not know you personally. There is somebody out there that is praying for you on a daily day basis and that does care for you. You are somebody. You are special and you are needed. So I just want to make that clear to get you a safe spot. If it's a booklet, if it's a teddy bear, if it's a blanket, if it's sitting in the dark and just singing a song or acting funny, acting silly, whatever it is, what makes you feel safe, get to that place, but never choose violence for any type of answer, because that one moment can destroy your entire life.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. You just saved someone's life.
That's right.
That speech. Really, really have.
Amen.
Thank you. Man. That's serious. I really love these discussions because you never know exactly what direction we're going in, and we touched on a lot of angles and the safety piece with kids, but the support for teachers and the involvement of parents. I mean, all of this is connected, you know. I remember when I was doing some moonlighting and I ran into a high school, an old high school classmate. And when I tell you, this is what shook me. He was miserable. He was telling me that he's a school teacher and how much he hated his job. And I'm like, and he was like, the kids don't listen to you. He's like, it's, you know, I wish I had a deal like my brother and went for the money. And he's going on and on about it. And it broke my heart because I never like to hear about people unhappy in whatever field they are in, they're in, but especially in the teaching environment. But I'll start with that to ask you, Bree, if someone's entering into the teaching profession, today, what guidance or wisdom would you give them?
I would definitely tell them that you have to have a heart of compassion, and you have to come into the field understanding that you're going to put more in the beginning to reap the harvest later, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to come into this field. I want you to come into this field with excitement, because there are moments where you feel challenged. Mm-hmm. You know, there are moments where you do feel like crying. There are moments where you feel like throwing in a towel. But I can say, as a witness of 10 years, that if you continue to sow into these children, continue to pour into them, they're going to flourish. Think about a garden. If you don't tend to it, it won't grow.
Amen.
And you also have to know how to repot or reposition your plants. Sometimes sometimes there is a conflict of the child and the teacher don't necessarily get along, but God will show you how to work even with the most difficult child.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Don't go into it thinking it's going to be butterflies and sunflowers, because I'm here to tell you that there are thorns on roses.
Amen.
So understand, you can make it, and it's a beautiful journey. You just got to walk through it with your head held high and your focus on making an impact. The income will come, because I know everybody talk about impact over income, but I will be honest. income can be a little challenging because you're investing a lot.
Yeah.
But when I tell you, hearing students say, Miss Baker, because of Miss Baker, I'm glad you helped me with. Again, I just got an alert that a student I assisted is now a North Carolina teaching fellow.
Yes.
Like, I mean, granted, I just came into this student's life due to my role change. But just to have that 5%, 2% piece of the 100% person that this student is, it's again, it takes a village.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes a village. And guess what? She wants to be in elementary education.
Oh.
So shout out to North Carolina. You getting ready to get another teacher. And I don't want to discourage anybody because, again, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Come on.
So I want everybody to know that, to be very transparent, you're going to find somebody that's not satisfied with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find somebody that's jumping for joy. The question is, what's their perspective and what have they experienced?
Mm-hmm.
Can they push past the persecution to see the promise?
Mm-hmm.
Every teacher out there, I want you to hear me with my heart. Can you push past the persecution to see the promise?
Amen.
That's cool.
I love all of that, and I love what you led with passion, because mm-hmm. to me it's connected with what Kimberly was just talking about, the safety piece. And when you're passionate, you recognize those other things that are going on outside of the academic piece of this.
That's right.
Like, hey, this student's in need. They need my help. They need me to intervene. They need me to provide them with some measure of safety. So, Kimberly, you got a question before I ask the last one?
Listen, I am about to get in my good book because I done touched on some things tonight, and I need God to do some answers for me. I don't really have a question. I just want to again say thank you to all the teachers that are still in the field. Thank you mm-hmm. for every sacrifice that you have made, sacrifices that we can't see. You know what I mean? We appreciate y'all. Every little thing that y'all have done. Thank you for being mama. Thank you for being daddy. Thank you for being that friend, because in college and in high school, sometimes these babies just be needing a friend, you know? Thank you mm-hmm. for being that friend to our baby. Thank you for being protectors to our children. And thank you for being a listening ear to our children when they don't feel like they're comfortable talking to us. Now, I know that just hurt somebody and stepped on somebody's toe, but sometimes we don't always want to talk to our mom about certain things. And I'm a grown woman, and I love my mom to death, but there have always been certain things in life that I may not speak to my mom about because she's my mom, and my mom is going to act as my mom, you know, and sometimes in certain situations, we don't need the mommy. We need the friend. We need you to hear us. We need us to understand. And some parents, not all, some parents cannot put down the mama house, the mama hat to actually listen and understand from their baby's perspective. You know what I mean? So thank you all for standing in the gap for our children when we couldn't, even though we may not have known. Thank you for being there when we could not be the seen and unseen. So I just want to say that. Other than that, I know I don't have any more questions. I just want to say thank you.
Man, thank you, Kimberly, for that. And I echo everything that Kimberly said. I do want to ask you just one question before we close out. This mm-hmm. question is about Bree.
I mean,
at the end of your career, when students look back, what do you hope they remember about you?
Mm. It's funny because a student just told me, yeah, my friend said, you real nice, but you strict. And so I would hope that students would gain structure, passion, and persistence. Structure, passion, and persistence.
That's good.
And guess what? I always throw in this other P I didn't even say. Prayer. Because Miss Baker pray.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
So, if they can remember those four things, I think I'll be all right.
I wish they bring that back in school. I ain't going to lie. Because we used to pray on intercom every morning, you know, and pray out there with the flag and everything. You know, but anyway, that's another topic for another day. But you know,
it is a good topic to have.
So. I'm trying to tell you, because good Lord, but why did they take prayer out of school? But okay, everybody have a good night. I'm sorry.
You know, that's I'm writing notes right now. We're gonna talk about that in the future, very near future. But Kimberly summed it up perfectly, Bree. We are just so thankful for what you do. And I think the deepness of this is this, you know, teaching isn't just giving information. You're actually shaping someone's perspective, right?
Yes,
and so, sure. Yeah. And years down the, you know, you think about 10, 15 years, 20 years from now, I think about those teachers who impacted my life. And you don't remember the lessons, you remember how they made you think, you know, what did they tell you about life? And so it's just such an honorable profession. So again, we thank you. And it's been a long time. I'm glad you came back on and we talked about this, man. You're a wheelhouse. So we appreciate you, Bree.
Thank you.
Kimberly, love you.
Thank you, y'all. Kimberly.
You too. Yeah. Till next time, my people. See you when we see you.
Peace. All right.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.